Hello and welcome to episode 54 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. And Sim, for the first time since 2021, the Purdue Boilermakers are 2-0 to start the year. And it was another exciting, fun game under the lights. And they did what we asked. They went out and got the win. I think anybody that listened to the preview episode, you know, we kind of talked about, you know, this was going to be a good test, even though it was, you know, an FCS school. And it definitely was that. I don't know if we anticipated that much of a test early on. But all in all, it was just a nice win and nice to see them bounce back after that first quarter.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, obviously, at the end of the day, our request for this Purdue team is always win. And so obviously, they got that job. They got the job done. And like you said in the preview episode, we were talking about how this is going to be a more challenging task than the Ball State game, just because, you know, the infrastructure of that Southern Illinois team was a lot more firm. It was more in place because, you know, their coach has been there for 10 years, so they knew kind of their identity. And like you said, after those first couple drives in the first quarter, that for me personally changed my mindset from like, hey, I want my score prediction to be right, to just, hey, actually, fuck it, win. You know, the defense was able to settle in. The team as a whole really settled in, and they were able to get the win. And even though, like, I mean, yeah, the score was what, 34-17. It's not. I mean, it like that's a, that obviously that's a pretty convincing win. But like you said, like with that first quarter, especially those first couple drives, it definitely was like, oh shit, like we might be in it. But, you know, really proud of the way the team was able to respond after those first couple drives. And yeah, like you said, like 2-0. So that's, at the end of the day, a win's a win.
All that matters. And, you know, we talked about it on the preview pod, but it's worth mentioning just because of how wild of a stat it is. But Coach Odom is the first Purdue coach to start his tenure 2-0 since 1916, joining Cleo O'Donnell. Shout out to Coach Odom on that. And, you know, he even made it a point in his post-game press conference how, you know, I don't remember what the exact quote was, but winning is never easy, and he's never going to apologize for winning. And we certainly know that winning's not easy after last year. And so we will take all the wins that we can get. In fact, we've doubled our wins from last year. So definitely won't apologize for that either. But yeah, it was a solid all around win. And on the offensive side, Sim, you could just tell from the very beginning a concerted effort to run the ball. That really seemed like it was going to be the game plan. You know, whether it was Maccabee or, you know, any of the other guys, I think Ryan Brown ended up having 9 carries. They as a team ran it over 50 times, and Maccabee had a career high 32 carries. So, you know, a very much concerted effort to run the ball. And I think one thing that needs to be mentioned that really stood out to me is running the ball that many times with as inexperienced of an offensive line as you have, and you didn't have any offensive penalties the entire game. So just a really good overall effort from the offense.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. I think after the last game, I believe we might have chatted about that, about how, you know, I believe we got outrushed by Ball State. So it was very much so a, like you said, it was very intentional, I believe, to be able to run the ball, establish the run, and be able to and to control the line of scrimmage. And yeah, so as much as, like, you know, you see Maccabee's stat line of, you know, of 32 rushes for 126 yards and 2 touchdowns, as good as that is, you then look at that O-line and understand that, you know, they were able to, you know, as a team, we ran for 214 yards, and they're a big hand as to why we were able to do that. And so it was nice to see us be able to control the line of scrimmage on that side of the ball, because the run game is something that you just need. You're not always going to be, I think we even talked about this, you know, after, I think we even talked about this after the last game, about how You can't necessarily expect Ryan Brown to sit there and throw for over 300 yards every game. I don't think that's I honestly I don't think that's the team we want to have in terms of like where you need him to be able to go out there and essentially put up Heisman numbers every game. So to be able to have the run game, to be able to establish it early, and then it also helps you late when you're trying to just either bleed out the clock or or just to put a game away, was really really. I was really happy to see us get that run game established and be able to use it so effectively after after what we saw last week. And again, for even Mock personally, him getting closer, moving up on the career list of for rushing yards. That was nice for him. But yeah, man, just really, really impressed by what the offensive line was able to do, and thus the what was able to do in terms of opening up the run game.
Yeah, and so for Maccabee, not only just in the yards, but just overall running, he just continues to climb the record book. So he's now seventh all time in attempts, fifth in yards, and the two touchdowns pushed him to ninth in touchdowns with 22 in his career. And he's now tied for fourth all time with for the most 100 yard rushing games in which he has nine. So, he's just going to continue to keep climbing those charts. But it was really good to see him get going. We talked about it in the preview when it felt like a game where you wanted to see him do that. And that's exactly what they did. But Sim, I want to talk about Ryan Brown just a little bit too, because like you said, his numbers didn't really like jump out. He was pretty efficient, 14 of 23, 172 yards and two scores. He had the bad interception. But we talked about a little, we I can't, we talked about it a little bit after the game. But I think the most impressive thing for me was how he bounced back after that interception. And really didn't seem to rattle him at all. In fact, it kind of seemed to motivate him a little bit. But it was nice to see him bounce back after that. And just, in general, it's not like an eye-popping game, but it's one, he has over 200 total yards and two scores. Like, you're gonna take that every day of the week.
Yeah, no, I mean, it wasn't. It would be a reach to have the ask of a quarterback. I think of any major college football team, to hey, don't turn the ball over the entire season. So like they're gonna happen. They're gonna have like turnovers gonna happen. It's and you have to have a short term memory of being able to just kind of like okay, look that either it was a poor throw, or that throw got away from me, or whatever it was. Okay, what? But it'd be able to kind of quickly forget about it and move on. And even though his stat line through the air wasn't as robust as it was last week, I still was pleasant. I was still okay with I was more than okay with the way that he played, in terms of the way that he managed the offense, continued to make throws. I mean, it was 14 to 23, so it wasn't like he really like he struggled, mightily throwing the ball. Maybe didn't hit on some of the deep passes like he did, the week before, but he still managed the game very well. Still made the throws, used his legs. Was it 9 carries for 50 yards? I mean, he did. He did, I think, everything we would want out of that quarterback position in terms of just being able to make sure that he kind of kept us on schedule and kept us moving. And like you said, just being the way he kind of handled that adversity of like making that turnover, but also knowing like, look, nope, there's still plenty of game left. I can go back and get it. And like, yeah, like you said, I think it kind of lit a fire in him of like, no, I'm gonna get that back per se. Of like just knowing like, nope, we're gonna go out and I'm just gonna we can get past this. And also, I mean, shout out to the defense real quick, because like after that pick, they I think they got a quick three and out, which got us the ball right back. But even still, you just I like the way that Ryan Brown responded after that pick, and I just liked overall how he played yesterday as well. Even though like the stat sheet might not look as beautiful as it did last week.
Yeah, no, I agree. And real quickly, before we talk about the defense, I did just want to highlight special teams as well. It wasn't the prettiest of kicks, but Spencer was 2 of 2, knocked them both down. And one interesting stat that I just wanted to highlight was that the Boilermakers did not have to punt the entire game. Which was the first time since 2016 in which they had a game where they did not have to punt. So, the offense was really flowing. I thought that Coach Henson called another overall solid game. Not really too many gripes with kind of what he did. I'm a big fan of using Maccabee in the Wildcat as well, especially down in the red zone. I really like specifically. I think it was the second touchdown. They ran it once and picked up like 3 or 4 yards, got it to the 1 yard line, I think, and went right back to it and he ran it in. Just overall, it was really nice to see kind of the offense, the play calling, but just thought it was really interesting too that you know that the offense is flowing when you don't have to send your punter out there for the entire game.
Yeah, I honestly, I'll be honest with you, I didn't even realize that that was the case, that like we hadn't punted until I think I got a text in a group in one of my group chats that was like, oh yeah, that's the first game they haven't punted. I think it was what, since 2016. So like you said, yeah, it really speaks again to how efficient the offense was, how productive it was in terms of even when we had drives that didn't finish in touchdowns, how they were still finishing with points. Yeah, I just kudos to the offense on that piece, because I mean, you're gonna be hard pressed to find a game where you don't punt and you lose. Now, I don't need to be proven wrong on that. I don't. But like, but yeah, that was a really nice kind of caveat to the game, or a nice like kind of like, I wouldn't say like silver lining, but yeah, it was a nice kind of detail of the game of like, oh, we didn't punt. And yeah, I'm curious, like yeah, just it was nice. It was nice.
So let's talk about the defense a little bit, Sim, because the defense is one of the most interesting things about this season so far. Because I'm not sure anybody really knows how good or what this defense is. The stat wise, they are doing really well. They've given up 3 points in 7 of the 8 quarters total this year. So you see those stats and you're like, man, the defense is balling. But it just seems to be missing something. Obviously, we're only 2 weeks in, so it's not a finished product by any means. But it's just interesting because it's hard to argue with the results. But you just seem kind of unsure about the defense still, I think, after 2 weeks.
Yeah, man, you and I were talking about this yesterday, like towards like the back half of the game, and it was like, just like you said, it was like it's like numbers wise, when you're looking at the stats, like you said, it's hard to sit there and be like, yo, this defense has been trash, or this defense hasn't been good. But yeah, you're definitely right that it's just like when you're watching the game, there's just like you can just tell that there's still room for improvement with the defense, and I'm sure that they know that as well. I think the biggest thing that sticks out, and you can obviously chime in afterwards, but like the biggest thing to me is that you still haven't forced a turnover yet. And when I think about like moving forward in the season, and obviously after this game, the level of competition is gonna take a significant leap. You're gonna need to be able to force some turnovers to kind of get where you want to get. If you want to be able to beat some of these teams, whether it's Ohio State, Michigan, USC, and Oregon, Washington, Illinois, if you're gonna want to beat some of these teams, like you're gonna need to be able to generate some turnovers. And what we did have some, like last night I saw, we had some good push with the defensive line, but there were times, you're not able to kind of get home and get a, and get the sack and get sacks. And I think this is me being more like nitpicky, because we did have 3 sacks, but it's like, man, it felt like we had 3 sacks, but I think we probably could have said you could at least easily had double that. And your thought is that, hey, if you're getting home, if you're really able to get proper pressure on a quarterback, you're able to make him get the ball out faster than he wants to, which could then lead to picks. Or if you're able to get home, just in general, you're just on a numbers tip, you're just thinking, all right, we get home enough, I'm like, yeah, we're gonna get a sack strip, and then from that standpoint, you get a turnover there. I think you still see too with some with missed tackles. You're still, you know, that's still kind of a bugaboo for this defense. And so it was nice, again, like it was nice to see after those first two possessions for them to really kind of settle in and them to make adjustments in game again and then again at half to where, yeah, they were for the most part able to kind of just really close off the water for that Southern Illinois defense. But yeah, like when you're looking at it, and obviously I think, you know, we kind of have to be a little bit critical. We have to be a bit nitpicky. You do see some things with this defense and you're still just kind of like, yeah, like it's trending, but you're just kind of like, yeah, it's not, I guess it's not at the point yet where you feel comfortable in terms of like, hey, this defense can go on the road and give you this type of performance. I think maybe that's what I'm thinking, is that like this is cool because it's at home, but like what happens on the road, you know? And if you play that way on the road, I'm just not sure if you're necessarily going to get the same outcome. But again, I think the issues that plague the defense, I think that they're aware of it, and I think that they're working, you know, week in and week out to try to address those and close those gaps. Because you tell me, do you think that this defense was better this week than they were last week, given the level of competition?
I think that they were obviously they didn't start off there. The script obviously was different,
But
you
you gave
know,
up
because
points, so
last week, you
yeah.
know, to that early lead.
Right.
And so it makes it a little bit easier, because all of a sudden Ball State's down 14 nothing to start the game. That kind of changes their game script a little bit.
Right.
The two things that are really encouraging to me from this game specifically was just they got punched in the mouth and they got back up and they delivered a knockout blow. And they did that by making adjustments, which was just kind of refreshing to see as a fan, of this team. It's something we were have been dying to see last year. It just seemed like there was never any in-game adjustments ever made. So those two things are really encouraging. I'm right there with you with the turnovers. You need to be able to get some. It feels like they're really close. I mean, they got two stops on fourth down, so you got two turnover on downs. But they're right there. But you're starting to see some guys emerge as well. Which is pretty exciting to see. One guy I wanted to specifically highlight, and you know, he's kind of flown under the radar because we've talked a lot early on about Manny Powell, and deservedly so. But man, Charles Correa had himself a game. And you know, he was another guy that came to Purdue with Coach Odom. He finished with five tackles and a sack. He's the first Purdue Boilermaker to have at least one sack, two tackles for loss, and a pass breakup in the same game since Derek Barnes did it back in 2019. So, Derek Barnes, another underrated Purdue player. Anytime you're mentioned on stats with him, you're doing something good. So, you're starting to see some guys emerge, but I'm with you, and I'm going to take it a step further. Not even just like you wonder how this team does like on the road. You wonder how this team does, frankly, against a Big Ten opponent.
Yeah.
Now, good news is, or bad news maybe is, we're going to find out really quick. But I think it was two different kind of games. To answer your question, I don't know if I'm more impressed or but I think I'm definitely more encouraged just because of how they responded. And then if you look, like, they held Southern Illinois to 66 yards in the second half. That's, you know, on 25 plays, that's really, really good.
Yeah.
And it that was against a good offense too. Like we talked about, you know, DJ Williams is a baller.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
so for them, how they responded, I think to me is the most encouraging thing from last night with the defense.
Absolutely, man. Because like, I think we saw a lot of times last year where you could almost see the shoulder sag on the defense in terms of like just kind of that kind of that foreshadowing of like, oh man, here we go again. But like you said, like I think after those after the second touchdown drive for Southern Illinois, I think that defense, you know, I think they definitely took it personally, you know, in the right way, and came out and yeah, to shut down that offense. I mean, they were Southern Illinois was like we talked about in the preview, like they were gonna present a different challenge. Like being ranked 15th in FCS is no, you know, that was nothing to sleep on. And so you knew you were gonna kind of you knew you were gonna have you're gonna have your work cut out for you. Maybe not the same way you would in terms of like facing a Big Ten, you know, a Big Ten opponent or another like Power Five team. But you were definitely gonna have your work cut out for you. So for them to be able to respond the way you did, I like the fact you called out Charles Correa, call out obviously CJ Nunnally because he had those back to back sacks. I mean, yeah, you said you're seeing guys who are with their opportunity, who are taking advantage of said opportunity and making a name for themselves. And that's what you need is that you and you hope that that continues, that as the season goes on, that there are more and more guys who, as they start to they really understand the you know, as they continue to understand the defense, the system that they're playing, the you know the that they're able to really, even the guys we talked about, like back, go as far back as the preview. And we're talking about, you know, you have a lot of guys who are high upside guys, guys who maybe didn't get a lot of playing time where they were at previously. And now they're getting an opportunity here. And you're hoping that, like, as they're going through the lumps, that they're starting to figure it out. The game is starting to slow down. And now they have an ability to really be impactful. And if we can continue to have that as the season progresses, then I think our concerns, or like kind of like us, like kind of holding our breath in regards to the defense, I think that'll kind of subside. But yeah, it does speak a lot to the fact that they were able to recover after those first couple of possessions, and then they were just like, nope, no more. And basically, for the better part of three quarters, they just they were yeah they were exactly what we want what we needed and wanted them to be. They you know they were a shutdown defense. They were able to get off the field on third downs. They were getting pressure on the quarterback. They were making tackles. They were getting into the backfield. You know, stopping people. You know, making tackles for losses. I mean, it was a good performance by the defense after those first couple drives. I think again, yeah, just was I think it's us being nitpicky, but nitpicky in a constructive criticism way of, you know, of just like, yeah, like we like it's good, but like we need this to be better, like you said, against like what happens when you run into against like Big Ten competition.
Yeah, no, I agree. And one other guy just wanted to give a quick shout out to for the second straight week now, he's led the team in tackles, and that's Taj Rael. He had seven yesterday, I believe, and 13 on the year. So quick shout out to him. But yeah, man, I think it was just a solid overall performance. And through 2 weeks, it's kind of exactly what you wanted to see. And now it gets real, for lack of a better term.
Bro, it
And
does. It
we'll
does.
have a lot more to talk about as when we preview the USC game. But you know, just in general, I don't think you could have asked for a better way to start the year through two games. You got a lot of encouraging signs, and that's really all you could ask for.
Yeah, no, like you said, like these. We might have talked about it before, but I know you and I have talked about it, but you were gonna know a lot about this Purdue team really through the first four games of the year. And ideally, you were gonna win these first two. And then when the pressure ramps up a bit, obviously starting next week with USC, then you were gonna really start to understand, okay, like, you know, where what you I think you would have a good idea of like, okay, where are the strengths of this team? Where are some of the weaknesses? But yeah, I mean, all things considered, and like you said, I mean, double the win total from last year, and I think too. This football team just—they just look a lot more. They just aesthetically, they're passing the eye test more than obviously what we saw last year, which doesn't sound like it's easy to do when you go 1-11. But you know, obviously, like on both sides of the ball, I mean, you're seeing a lot more disciplined team. You know, not getting penalized a lot. Seems as though guys really understand exactly what their responsibilities are, which goes back to some stuff that I think Odom kind of preaches in terms of guys knowing it. Odom and his staff really harping on the details of the game, not so much the overall of like, hey, let's win or hey, let's play good on defense, play good on offense, but each guy understanding what their responsibility is and knowing Knowing what they're accountable for, and if you, it's honestly, it almost kind of sounds like Patriots adjacent of like a, hey, you do your job, and if you do your job, and the guy to your left and your right is doing their job, we'll be fine. So it's all things considered, like you said, I think we, we're being nitpicky, I think, because we kind of have to, but all things considered, 2 weeks gone, two wins. That's all you can ask for.
100%. And like I said, it'll get a whole lot tougher. But you know, that's kind of what we want to see is, you know, how will this team respond for that. So we will have much more to talk about that on our preview episode coming up. But real quick, before we wrap everything up here, Sim, be remiss if we didn't highlight the volleyball team for their matches over the well, I guess leading up to the weekend. It got off to kind of a little bit of a rough start in the Stacy Clark Classic, losing 3-1 to Georgia Tech. But man, did they bounce back in a huge way with a win against Bowling Green. And then the game of the year so far for the Boilermakers, they knocked off 15 Kansas in a really exciting match, 3-2. At Holloway Gymnasium, just a really fun match, but just an impressive win for the ladies. Sim, are you there? They ended up winning in five sets, 3-2. Sim, I think we might have lost you. Not sure what happened there, but that will go ahead and with that we'll wrap up the this week's episode. Again, the Boilermakers are 2-0 after a nice victory over Southern Illinois. But it's about to get a whole lot more real as they get ready to take on USC this week. We will have a preview episode later this week. Should be a fun one to talk about that. I want to thank everybody for their engagement. I had a lot of fun on Twitter this weekend as well. So thank y'all for that. Most importantly, boiler up.
Yes, sir.